plate a potential nugget.
Picking up in IMA, I'm curious about one of the quotes that I picked up as I was doing the research, Venkat, in one of the LEM courses in IMA, on the course on entrepreneurship. You use the phrase, "I see myself as an instrument or tool that's available to society, and my choices should be guided by maximizing the returns that I'll give to the society." Say more about this. Where does it come from? Because when I go back to campus days, I can't remember anybody around me having that framing in terms of how they thought about themselves. So if you could talk a little bit about where that self-awareness came from.
Right. No, couple of things. First is, like I said, pretty much even in college, did a lot of work in the extracurricular space while I was in undergrad college and got a chance to work with. So starting from I would go back to even school, Airport High School, where, we had some lot of underprivileged, not so privileged kids coming there to the same school. And I used to spend a lot of time helping some of them, prepare for exams, learn concepts that they wouldn't get in class, etc. So teaching friends, tutoring them for free, stuff like that. I even tutored some kids for money in French later on and stuff like that. But I kind of felt that some of us are just outrageously lucky, right? Like I told you in the beginning. So there's always been this feeling that I don't really believe that I've done anything great. It's just where I was born that has made a huge difference. And anything we can do to, give other people a leg up so that they can get at least somewhere close. Saying you can't possibly completely equate it. You can't make the same base. Only government can probably do that. But can we at least help some people get a base so that they have a fair chance at least to compete in the world and stuff like that? So that thought was already there in the mind, even when I went to IIM. One of the thoughts definitely in the back of the mind was entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I've been very strongly entrepreneurial from college days, school days, etc. And therefore, the idea of doing stuff, maybe building a business that will help people, all of that stuff was also there at the back of the mind. And I think two, three things that happened. A couple of very close friends on campus. So, in the dorms, there are just like on the floor, 10 people. So two very good friends, one Sridhar Rajagopalan, with whom I then went on to set up and still probably one of my closest friends today. Sridhar and I used to spend a lot of time together on campus, just talking about various things, discussing. We've gone on 25, 30 kilometer walks in the night, all the way from IIM Ahmedabad to the railway station and back.
Wow.
Walking. One of those was with Sridhar carrying his laundry clothes in his hand, because we'd actually gone to pick up his clothes. We decided to continue walking and went all the way and came back. And we would talk about a lot of things. We would talk about politics. We would talk about what is the right thing to do in a country like India. How do you, solve these issues of poverty? How do you solve these inefficiencies in the system? Stuff like that. So we used to keep talking about a lot of these things. And I think that had a significant, of course, influence even that point of time in shaping the mind further. The other was Sunil Khernath, again a batchmate and dorm mate. And Sunil comes from an agricultural family. So he grew up in a farmer's house. He's been a farmer throughout his childhood. And so he was doing the SPA program at IMA. But one of the most amazingly intelligent guys I've come across, deeply introverted, so you don't actually realize, but so much depth, it was extraordinary. And the spirit of service, of wanting to do something for farmers that he had in his heart, I think that must have also had a rub off effect. So it was just the sangat, right? I mean, you get shaped by the company you keep. So there was a huge influence of the company as well on the thought processes. So, yeah. I guess once you realize that everything you have is because of the world has given it to you, and not because, you got some false notion that I'm this wonderful rock star who's worked very hard to create everything I've got in my life, then it kind of almost as a corollary follows that you then ought to pay it forward, right? And so I have pretty much from very early in life, I think the articulation in that LEM reflection note was very sharp, but otherwise I had always kind of been in that direction of thought that, I have everything I need. I don't really need anything else. What's the, use of myself? I am an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe life has a purpose. Even spiritually and philosophically, people find it paradoxical that I actually think Thanos is a very interesting character. Right? If at a click of a thumb, you can get half the world to not exist. It actually helps the world in various ways and stuff like that. So given that there is no predefined purpose of life, we have to construct our own purposes, right? Or you have to go and walk off a cliff and die. There's no purpose in life. Why exist? Kind of a thing. So there's two important things that have guided my thought process. One, since I'm here, might as well be of value. If you have to create your own purpose in life, in my case, I think I was very clear that I had everything I needed. I didn't really need anything else. And therefore, the best use of my life is to be of use to others. In that sense, I have seen then and I continue to see myself primarily as a resource that is available to help improve the situation for society as it exists to the extent possible. And therefore, my decisions are always guided by that. So every fork that I've come across, the key criterion for decision making is which of these paths helps me create more change or create more impact. Social good. And that's been kind of driving all the decisions. The second one that I'm very, very clear about is that, you know, each of us needs to be net positive contributors into the system. So I'm acutely aware that, you know, and we consume from the system in various ways. So the more obvious ones are the physical resources that we consume. Right? And like the environmental impact of our life and stuff like that. So those are things I'm very, very clear about. So I have a commitment to make sure that I plant enough trees to offset at least 1.5x of my carbon footprint throughout my life. And maybe I will even do 5x of it so that it offsets all my family's carbon footprint or something like that. But also very, very clear that at no point do I want to be a parasite on society. So at one point of time, after a certain age, if I'm not being able to be productive, I would really love it if I could just go and euthanize myself. To me, that would be the ideal option. You know, never be a burden on society. Be of value or don't exist. So that is the second and very strong
thing. And when you say productive, how do you
think? The first criterion, right? Adding value to society. Contributing back.
If I go back to my 2 years at IMA and reflect on what is the course that made the most impact on me, I don't think it was any of the finance, operations, or quantitative courses. It was actually a course called Exploring Roles and Identities conducted by Dr. Indira Parikh. We'd go away from Ahmedabad to the Run of Kutch and spend a week in the nature talking about how we are dealing with the various elements of life. It was hard to put a finger on what it did to me at that point, but in a way, it showed the potential of unlocking the mental models that people have in their heads and driving value in their life. In a lot of ways, what I strive to do now is a lot similar to the experience I had at ERI. But I guess the power of a great education sometimes is not just in the specific knowledge it imparts, but also in the seeds that it plants in your head that germinate over a period of time. Thank you for listening.